You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Well, the Canadian Medical Association is calling for mandatory flu shots for healthcare workers. At least the Association Journal is doing that. And Dr. Ken Flagel is with us on the line. He's senior associate editor of the journal and a general internal medicine specialist at Montreal's McGill University Health Center. Dr. Flagel, thanks very much for being here on Zoomer Radio.
You're quite welcome.
It sounds like a pretty common sense thought that people who are engaged in healthcare work around people who are ill or in frail health should indeed have a flu shot.
You'd think so.
Yeah, you certainly would.
Over the years, it averages out at about a 40% participation rate, and many hospitals have tried to improve the rate, and they get it up about 50% or 55%. It's not enough for preventing circulation of influenza virus.
I read a report the other day that said the 40% you're quoting is in fact less than the flu shot episodes in the general public.
Yes.
Why would that be? I mean, that makes, to me, no sense.
Well, I guess healthcare workers are a little more skeptical about vaccines.
Yeah.
They're also busy. They're also young and healthy, and they think, I don't get the flu, or when I get it, it's mild and I don't bother anybody. But those would all be wrong. In fact, the numbers suggest that 20% of healthcare workers get the flu, which is roughly double the general public. And when they do, it's usually mild. Some of them don't have any symptoms at all. And in any case, a person who appears to be very well can still be shedding the flu virus a day before they actually get symptoms. So that's pretty late to try and protect someone in hospital.
And you know what's going on in British Columbia. There in fact, that's been now made a regulation or is about to be made a regulation, but it's facing a lot of stiff opposition from hospital care unions who say, oh, no, we shouldn't be forced into this. Do you understand that argument yourself?
Well, it's a sort of human rights and autonomy argument, and I agree with the principle. I don't want something done to my body that I don't agree to.
Yeah.
But, you know, that right, like all rights, exist within a social context. Rights are not absolute. They get exercised within the society. They're to protect the individual against the society. But the protection only goes so far, and the right to exercise the right only goes so far. I can't walk outside and do whatever I want in public.
Yeah.
You know, there's a limit on that, even though I feel it's my right to do that. So in this instance, we fully recognize that we would be stepping on some people's rights, but the countervail thing is what's been happening in the hospitals in the last 10 or 15 years, and that is, if any of your listeners have visited there, the average person in hospital these days is ill, elderly, and immune-suppressed from autoimmune disease, from cancer chemotherapy, from getting a transplant, or just from being awfully sick. And so when influenza is circulating in the hospital, they can't protect themselves from getting it. And when they get it, they can't mount an immune response. So they get severe influenza, organ failure, and a good proportion of them die. So that's the countervail in the exercise of the autonomy right here. And that is the right not to be harmed by the people who say they're there to help you.
But by the same token, I mean, really what the hospitals need to be saying is, fine, you can exercise your rights not to be poked with a needle, just don't come around our patients.
So that's exactly what happens in our schools when there's an outbreak, typically with measles.
Yeah.
The public health authorities in the schools say to the parents, there's no obligation for your child to be immunized, but you can't come to school unless the child has
a certificate. Yeah, these are the consequences. This is what happens. Go ahead.
We don't need to have 100%.
Yeah.
In the States, where hospitals have just said, look, everybody get this and show your certificate to your boss,
mm-hmm.
The opt-out rate is about 10 or 20%. That would still give us an 80% participation rate. That would be huge, just huge.
Well, that's herd immunity at that point, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's what we're asking hospital administrators and the clinical managers to endorse and to undertake. We think it has to help happen at the level of the of each institution. Each institution has to devise their own policy. And there could be opt-out. There have to be opt-outs for people who have medical contraindications. And if someone has got a lifelong, deeply held philosophical religious conviction against vaccines, let them document it and tell the hospital about it. I'm sure we could design a program, and you know those people would be managed in a special way. If they come to the hospital with an infection, until they prove it's not the flu, they're going to get sent home, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of unwieldy in practice, wouldn't it be? I mean, I understand what you're saying, because you can invoke your right as your rights as one of those workers, but by the same token, the system has to be able to protect the patients.
Correct. And that's what hospitals say they do, so it's part of their mandate to do what they can about it.
Do you think this should be done then on a hospital-by-hospital basis?
Well, that's what we're suggesting. I mean, we intended with the editorial to ask the question, isn't it time? Don't you agree?
Yeah.
And if you do, we trust people who are in leadership, and we think there are a lot of smart people running our hospitals. I'm sure they could design programs. But not many hospitals have used the muscle of saying it's mandatory, and that's what we're suggesting.
Well, as far as I can tell, hospitals, in fact, do have that muscle, do they not?
Sorry, I just closed the door here.
All right. I said, as far as I know, hospitals have that kind of muscle anyway, don't they?
Yeah, and in fact, a lot of American hospitals already do this.
Yeah.
Those wonderful Philadelphia area teaching hospitals have embraced this, and there is no opt-out. And they've had a 90% participation rate. Only 3 people have left their jobs in the last few years, and there are thousands of healthcare workers in those 3 hospitals.
So when it gets right down to it, and you, as a healthcare worker, you have to really look at this more closely, you say to yourself, okay, I'll take the shot and I'll keep my job.
Yes. You know, and I think the public could think about this from their perspective as well. If you're going to have a parent or an older person in hospital this year and you're going to be visiting them, they could help a lot by getting immunized as well.
Yeah.
It's the young, healthy people we want to get to take the vaccine, because they're the ones who develop the best immune response.
And if a person in frail health in a hospital does, in fact, get the flu shot themselves, it still won't give them the kind of protection that it would a healthy person, because, in fact, they're not healthy, right?
That's correct.
So it's a double threat in a way. Or in other words, it can't be negated by getting a shot because you're a patient.
Well, also, we had a paper out of Minnesota last week, a very well-done study by Dr. Osterholm, showing that our estimate as to how effective the vaccine is probably a little bit optimistic.
Yeah.
And the evidence that people over age 65 develop effective immunity, that is immunity that prevents actual clinical infections, the evidence for that is not very good.
It isn't very good, is it?
No. So that makes the urgency of not having the virus circulating in the hospital all the more much greater.
But you can, doctor, you can always argue, as the day is long, that, okay, the flu shot is 50% effective, 60% effective, 80% effective. It doesn't really matter, does it? Because it is some effective, so at least it offers some protection. It's much better than nothing.
Yeah, I think there's an obligation to do what we are able to do to protect our patients. And there is evidence that about 50%. You know, heavens, if you were told that SARS is coming back this year for sure between 4,000 and 800 people are going to die, and we have this new vaccine that we believe is 50% effective, we'd all be lining up for it, wouldn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got pretty complacent about the flu, and I think that the change in the hospital, the level of illness of the patients really mandates the change.
I would think as well the healthcare workers, and we tried for a couple of weeks now to talk to one of the union leaders here in Ontario about this very issue, and have not been able to land the interview. I guess they're not too anxious about talking it on the radio. But in effect, the healthcare workers, by refusing the shots, are setting a pretty bad example, are they not?
I mean, would have thought. If I were a patient and I were in hospital, I would say, doctor, have you had your flu shot?
Yeah.
Before you start wiping me there, have you had your flu shot?
Yeah.
Exactly. I'd want to know.
What do you think? That list must include doctors.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, in other words, you're talking to your colleagues as well as nurses or any number of other people who have fairly close contact with people.
Yes. This is a matter of expert opinion. It's not my opinion, but in the literature, they generally mention that everybody who works in the building has to be immunized because even the non-clinical staff bring the virus in and give it to other clinical staff who then transmit it to patients.
Yeah, it's too easy to spread. It's just too easy to spread it around. It's as simple as that, right?
Yeah.
And yet, even in the general population, we have this low, low participation rate. And I think a lot of medical authorities really scratch their head about why it's so low. You can't write all that off to I'm too busy. Good grief, we make it easier and easier all the time to get a flu shot. In Ontario, now a pharmacist can give you the flu shot.
Yes, that's correct. This editorial was about not urging the general, not about urging.
No,
the general
I know
public,
that.
But you're saying the right things.
No, I know. But do you think you're going to be successful with the urgings that you're getting on with in this editorial?
You know, I've been through a few other episodes in this country, the C. diff stuff.
Yeah,
I've been very impressed how if we get a loud and vigorous conversation going, the public gets it. I didn't think they were going to understand about the C. diff and the spores and the sterility at the beginning and the antibiotics.
Uh-huh.
They got it. They got it right away. So I have a lot of faith in the Canadian people, and I think when this larger conversation has its effect, maybe over a year or so, we'll see a change.
Okay, I'm talking to Dr. Ken Flagel. He's a senior associate editor with the Canadian Medical Association Journal, calling for, in an editorial, flu shots for all healthcare workers.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Dr. Ken Flagel is my guest. He's senior associate editor of the Canadian Medical Association Journal, and he himself is a general internal medicine specialist at Montreal's McGill University Health Center. Talking about flu shots for healthcare workers. Sound like a sensible idea? Dr. Flagel, I've got some calls here. Let's see what people would like to say. Nina's on the line from Toronto. What are your thoughts, Nina?
My thoughts are that if they're concerned about the medical people having flu shots, they should also be concerned about the medical people walking around in their scrubs on the subway, in the public, and then going into the hospitals.
Well, that too, I suppose. But what about the flu shots itself? Don't get us off our main track here. We're trying to figure out whether or not it makes sense for those same workers to have flu shots to protect the people they treat.
I think in that field of work, you pretty well have to do what's good for your people.
Yeah.
It should be a choice for you, but in that field, like nurses or teachers or something, they're close to too many people they'd have to do it.
Yeah. All right, Nina, thanks very much for that. Nina also brings up the that's a favorite complaint around here, I must say, Dr. Flagel. We dealt with this several months ago. People observing hospital workers walking around the general public wearing the same scrubs they wore in the hospital. But
yeah,
I don't know if you have any.
Well, in that case, I think the main risk is a risk bringing fungi into the hospital. Viruses don't survive very long in the cold or on dry clothes. But fungi can survive a long time, and there are a lot of fungus infections in the hospital.
Well, in fact, there are a lot of things that hospitals can do to reduce the instance even of hospital-based infections, such as hand-washing programs, and there's been a great kerfuffle over that in recent times as well. You would think that washing your hands would make perfectly good sense.
Yes. Well, I have to tell you, in favor of my nurse colleagues, whenever that's studied, the doctors look worse than the nurses.
It's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Here's Alvarine calling from Toronto. Alvarine, what are your thoughts about this?
Oh, Mr. Goldhawk, that's funny. You just mentioned what I've been thinking for ages. First of all, Dr. Flagel, when he said, "Have you had your flu shot?" he should also say, "When did you wash your hands with soap and water and scrub up?"
Is that what you say if you're in a hospital?
I sure would.
Yeah.
Not. I don't mean just the doctors. I mean
anybody.
The persons involved. And I know when my husband was in the hospital, some of them would drop pills on the floor and pick them up and give them to him.
Yeah.
Alvarine, have you had your flu shot?
Nope.
Are you going to get it?
I live alone. I don't want
you live alone? What kind of an excuse is that, Alvarine?
I don't meet a lot of people.
Now, Alvarine, that's not a good reason. You see, now you're avoiding it, too.
Well, my husband and I used to take them.
Yeah.
I didn't want to discourage older people from taking the vaccine. If you're over 65 and healthy,
yeah,
but I'm very healthy.
The chances are still decent that you're going to get good protection from the vaccine.
That's right. Alvarine, you get that shot, okay?
Well, I'll think about it. But please impress on all the people involved with those in hospitals and in care units that they must scrub up and be clean.
Okay, Alvarine, we'll do that if you get your flu shot. Okay?
You're back.
Bye-bye. Okay. People just have, in too many cases, a natural reticence to get a flu shot. I don't get it, doctor.
Yeah, and the difficulty is she might not have much, many people coming and going in her sort of personal space, but it takes one ride on the metro or
yeah.
the subway and a sneeze, or walking behind somebody on the street who sneezes, and you've got it.
Yeah, it takes just one small contact in order for it to happen. 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. Those are the numbers to call if you'd like to chime in on this. Have you had any early reaction to the editorial at this point, Doctor?
I haven't looked in the last hour or so. We do have a rapid response feature on the journal website. Anybody
uh-huh.
is welcome. They are lightly screened, but not very much. Some of my colleagues have called me to criticize my paper in some of the details, which I always welcome.
Well, that's
but,
healthy, I
so
guess.
Far,
yeah.
So far, the reaction has been, you know, yeah, you're right. We've got to do something about this.
Now, the BC policy applies to... I'm looking at the list here. Hospital workers, staff of long-term care homes, community-based health care workers. You would apply that wide a blanket too, would you not?
Yeah, I don't know if wearing a mask all winter sounds too savory. Masks work for droplet infection. You know, if you've
yeah.
got a fresh mask on and you sneeze, it'll catch maybe most of the droplets. It doesn't work for aerosol, the tiny little particles that hang in the air for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And there's a concern about those after the research that was done on masks and SARS protection that maybe they're not very good.
Well, most of them were considered to be no good at all, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very interesting little experiment that British Columbia has undertaken, and I don't want to discourage them, but it's going to be interesting. I hope they're going to try and measure something and tell us if it works.
Well, it'd be interesting to know in the final analysis as well how many healthcare workers opt to wear the... mask because they didn't have the flu shot. I mean,
right. But as I pointed out, there will be some people who don't actually know that they're shedding flu virus.
Well, that's right. How do you? Nobody's going to know that, right?
Yeah.
In fact, you're more contagious before you show the symptoms than after, are you not?
Possibly, yes.
Yeah.
In certain cases, yes.
All right. Here's Anne calling. Anne, what are your thoughts about this?
I just think people might be a little anxious about getting a flu shot. A number of years ago, I got a flu shot and was very, very sick as a reaction to it. Very nervous.
I hear my patients. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, doctor.
I hear that from my first timers quite often, Anne. Your body is doing is your nose has got antibodies in it, and it's reacting right away to the foreign protein. So runny nose and a little bit of headache and a low-grade fever is typical just from the exposure to the protein. You can't actually get the flu from this shot because the virus just can't reproduce. It's been altered. So my experience with my patients is the first-timers do get symptoms, and if they just persist, you get the shot and you never even know you had it, and they don't get the flu.
But not every first-timer would get a symptom, would they, doctor?
No, by no means. It's the minority, I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah. Here's Beverly calling from Newmarket. What are your thoughts, Beverly?
Well, I just wanted to comment on the doctor saying about people sneezing and you get the virus. That lady said, well, she never goes out, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, well...
I'm also... a widow, and very seldom, you know, I'm in contact with the public. But this is a couple of years ago, before my husband passed away, we were at the exhibition, and we were in the, jewelry place or something. And a couple of days later when I got home, I was so ill, And I went to the doctor, and he said, "Where have you been?"
Yeah.
And I told him, and he said, "Somebody must have sneezed, and you inhaled their vapors."
Yeah, well.
6 weeks I was ill.
What was?
I had my flu shot. What would have happened if I hadn't had my flu shot?
Well, that's a good question. One never knows. Dr. Flagel, what would you say to that?
Well, we can't say for sure that you actually had the flu on that occasion, generally,
yeah.
But I think if you had had the flu shot, your illness would have been more mild at the least.
Well, in fact, that's what the flu shot does, right? I mean, we should we should make that. It doesn't necessarily prevent you from having the flu, but it will, in some cases, give you a milder
right.
version, right?
But what I was trying to get across to this lady is, that's no excuse. I don't go out very often.
Yeah.
I don't either, but the time that I did go.
Yeah. So one time you go out and you catch this thing,
and my
right?
My husband was there. He never became ill, and probably nobody else, but I did. But, anyway, it was just
But you're a still comment. A you're still a regular flu shotter, right?
Absolutely.
All right, okay. All right. Thanks very much. Here's Arna calling from Coburg. Arna, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. The healthcare workers should have their shots. I always get my flu shots. I haven't had a cold or the flu since 1994. It was a Texas A version.
Yeah.
Now, when I have adult children and grandchildren, and I try to explain to them, and they said, "Oh, no, I get the flu shot," and then I get sick. And I say, it's not live vaccine unless you're traveling out of the country. Am I correct?
Yes, and you're just describing the experience of my what I call my lifers, the people who've been getting it every year.
Yeah.
They just don't get side effects, and they don't get the flu, even in a year when the strains are not well matched. These people just have fabulous protection.
And the
well,
protection
perhaps
is...
perhaps it could be better explained to maybe not the doctors or the nurses, but the other people that, you know, the cleaners or whatever.
Well, a good argument to use for them, Arne, is do it to protect me.
Yes.
Because I'm not very good at resisting the flu, and I want to see you at Christmas. So please take the flu shot at least 2 weeks before you come and see me.
And I suppose some people are afraid of the needle.
Yes, well.
Yeah.
It only lasts a minute. Flu lasts, what, 2 weeks?
Well, and flu can lead in the extreme cases to your death. So that's a fairly dire consequence, isn't it, Arna?
That is. So nice talking to you.
Arna,
have a good day.
All right. Nice talking to you as well. Here is Stefania calling on her cell phone. Stefania, what are your thoughts?
Hi, I just wanted to say I'm actually a second-year nursing student at Humber College, so
okay.
I want to sound a little bit biased, but, you know, you said it's a dire consequence that, you know, you can die from the flu, but for healthcare providers, it's not just your health, it's the patient's health. So children or elderly adults, they can easily die from, you know, if they have other comorbidities that, you know, counteract with the vaccine. So I myself get the vaccine because as a student, you're supposed to. But, you know, from healthcare providers, I think it should be mandatory for sure because you're playing with lives that are not yours. And, you know, it's their job to, you know, promote optimal health, right? So
do your fellow nursing students share your attitude about that?
You know what? They all do. I believe so. Not all of them, but most of them, because I haven't heard any complaints. And we all go and get it when we're at the clinicals in the hospital. And we all get blood. And, you know, we do what we're supposed to do. So,
Dr. Flagel, what would you like to say to Stefania?
I'd say persuade your classmates and persuade the medical students and the residents to do what you did, Stefania. That's fabulous.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Oh, okay.
This was the nursing students before, so.
All right. That's good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Stefania, very much. Here is Peggy on the line from Toronto. Peggy, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you, Dale, not everyone can have a flu shot. I am highly allergic to eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And I swell up internally and break out in hives.
But that doesn't mean everybody shouldn't get a flu shot. If you can, right?
I can't get one.
Well, I understand that, Peggy. Doctor, what would you like to say?
Yeah, I think people like you shouldn't get it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
For sure, Peggy. And we're quite happy to see hospitals make exemptions for people like that. They may want to keep them off the wards where we have our transplant or chemotherapy patients during the flu season or some sort of wrinkle like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we put our minds to it, hospital administrators and the medical leaders in the hospitals are smart people. I'm sure we could do 80, 90% better than we're doing now.
Yeah. because when I got one a long time ago, the doctor said I had 5 minutes left to live.
So, Peggy, you're the typical person who should call your nearest and dearest. The younger, the more you should call them and say, please get the flu shot.
Yeah,
to protect me, because I can't protect myself.
You can't protect yourself. You want those around you to be protected. Exactly right. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Peggy, thanks very much for the call. Didn't I read a report, Doctor, a number of months ago that cast doubts on the fact that egg allergies were as bad as some people thought? There was some study, some work done on that.
Yes, I think I'm not an expert on the manufacture of vaccines, but my reading of it is that they're getting better at getting the egg protein out of the flu vaccine.
Yeah.
And it's like everything else in life. Most of the egg protein reactions are going to be mild. Only a few people are going to have severe reactions like Peggy's.
What kind of percentage of the population would have an egg allergy that would react with the shot?
Very low.
Very low.
I don't have a number, but very low. It'll be in the single digits.
In single digits. All right. Here's John calling from Oshawa. What are your thoughts, John?
Hi, Dale. I was on a few weeks ago, and I mentioned that I'm a former healthcare worker. I was an X-ray technician for 15 years. I also have had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis my whole life, so I can see it from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, I think health workers should take their flu shots. As a person with a compromised immunity who's prone to pleurisies and pneumonias and the such, the flu virus can be brought in by healthcare workers into hospitals and facilities with people with compromised immunities, and they're at risk, and they could get seriously ill or die. And I think it should be mandatory for every healthcare worker to take a flu shot. I was in Bridgepoint last year, hospital in Toronto. March, 1st of March till May, and there was a flu epidemic last year. And a lot of the therapists didn't take their flu shots, and they were sent home, and there was very limited care and physiotherapy for 3 weeks.
What do you mean they were sent home? They were sent home because they were ill?
Because they didn't take their flu shots.
Oh, I see.
They were not allowed to work.
Yeah.
So there was minimal staff while these people stayed home because they refused to take the shots.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, nursing supervisors stating that the one thing, too, there was precautions on the floors because it was on several floors. If only people would wash their hands regularly.
Well, that, too, of course, yeah. Dr. Flagle, that's at best a half measure if those people who won't get the shot are sent home. That doesn't necessarily solve the problem at all, does it?
It doesn't capture all the people who have the flu. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much,
John, for your call. Your time.
Let me take one more call here from Gary in Barrie. Gary, what are your thoughts?
I'm really going to promote the flu shot. They work for me. I used to be an entertainer, singer per se, not necessarily a good one. I used to always come down with the flu and so on. Started taking them for that very reason. They work. I lay under old cars continuously. They work, and as far as the injection goes, it doesn't hurt at all. I mean, they're fantastic, so highly recommend it.
Just a little pinprick after all, right?
Yeah.
All right, Gary, thank you very much. But there are still, and I've read the studies on this as well, Dr. Flagle, there are still people out there, you know, even the big burly guys, who just can't stand to have a needle.
So there's hope in sight. There's a nasal vaccine that's already available. It hasn't been completely approved for immunization campaigns, but it's going to come up, and you'll just be able to sniff it up, and that's it.
There goes another excuse.
Yes.
Dr. Flagle, thanks very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
You're most welcome, Dale. I enjoyed it.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
That's Dr. Ken Flagle, and he is the senior associate editor of the Canadian Medical Association Journal, and he's an internal medicine specialist as well at McGill University Health Center in Montreal.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.